We're continuing our study in pneumatology, the Holy Spirit in Scripture, which I'm convinced is one of the most fascinating topics in theology, but also a neglected topic in theology. We know that the Scriptures are holy, right? We say the Holy Bible or the Holy Scriptures. So we know that the Scriptures are holy. Why? Because the Holy Spirit inspired them. We know that we're commanded to read Scripture and that it brings spiritual benefit to our lives. But in the world of theology, we're still left asking questions such as the ones we asked in our bibliology class, where we asked things such as, what exactly happened when the Holy Spirit inspired Scripture? We asked questions such as, why did God choose to preserve His Word in a book, right? Rather than basically saying on December 31st every year, I want everyone to step outside on their front porch and I'm going to appear in the sky and make sure you bring your tablet or notepad because I'm going to speak to mankind and you're going to need to write that down and that's the way you're going to hear about me and learn about me, right? But no, that's not what God did. He chose to preserve His words in a book, and over time had it transmitted by copies being made after copies and copies, right? Those are things we talked about in bibliology, so we won't really be diving into those things this morning. But as we move through our study, related to pneumatology, I think we're going to see that, as the Lord always does, as He was inspiring Scripture and as He was bringing people and leading people to make copies of copies of copies down through the ages, He was accomplishing multiple things at the same time. He was inspiring Scripture. He was having copies of Scripture made, but I believe that He was also making the person who was writing Scripture or copying Scripture aware of the way that truth was renewing their lives and sanctifying them. And we'll look at that this morning. I believe it was that thing that drove them to write Scripture down. And so in a world that's desperate for self-renewal or self-understanding with nowhere to find it, God's people have the awareness that the Holy Spirit uses the truth to renew the human soul and change them into His image. And so with that short introduction, we get to our written introduction. It's there. And you'll notice, starting at the beginning, this is just an observation. Philosophers have long searched for what can renew the human soul. They have observed that, really in our fallen state, that our deficiencies in knowledge, virtue, reason, and self-awareness leave us fractured and desperate. It seems that we, quote unquote, lose ourselves as the very things we say and do often bring harm instead of healing, confusion instead of clarity, and sorrow instead of satisfaction. So the problem then is not merely that we do wrong, but we are wrong. We're disordered within. And human wisdom only reaches the diagnosis but cannot provide the cure. Only the Spirit of God through the living Word can enter the inward chaos and bring renewal where reason and will have failed. Interesting quote here from Soren Kierkegaard. I put it in there just as food for thought. He said, "The greatest hazard of all, losing oneself, can occur very quietly in the world as if it were nothing at all." And when I read that quote, I thought to myself, that is life. That's life without the Holy Spirit and without Scripture. You just live your life and you slowly kind of lose yourself and slip away until one day, right, you cross over to the next world into perdition. And that's the way many people live. And so this morning we will talk about that again and again, just this intersection of the Holy Spirit and Scripture. We'll ask the question, how do we keep from quietly slipping away, unable to change or understand even why we are the way we are, why we do the things we do? And so in this lesson, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit Himself rescues us from that downward slide into hopelessness and chaos. And through the truth of His Word, He renews the heart, restores the mind, and reorders the soul towards the beauty of Christ. Continuing in the notes there, in contrast to kind of this downward slide. As Christians, we believe that once you're saved, there is a upward trajectory. The Christian believes, and this is in your notes from Scripture, that the one who has been saved, who's been born of God, and you have references there, John 3:3, 1 John, the one born of God is no longer losing himself quietly in the world. He's been found by the great shepherd, and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and through the pages of Scripture, the truth within begins to recreate the reader in the likeness of his son. And so again, this big idea of the only way a person can be renewed this side of heaven is if they're redeemed by Christ, born again, given his spirit as his constant helper, the paraclete, as we talked about in other lessons, and through that ministry, the ministry of the Spirit and the Word of God, you begin to hear the living voice of God in Scripture. You begin to see the glory of God in Scripture. You begin to be shaped into Christ's likeness through Scripture's influence, and then you begin to shine the glory of God into the world as the Holy Spirit brings dynamic change in your life. And so we'll hit on this again and again. Our doctrinal statement says, we believe the work of the Holy Spirit is to execute the divine will with relation to all mankind. We recognize his sovereign activity in creation, Genesis 1:2, the incarnation, Matthew 1:18, written revelation, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. We believe that the Holy Spirit is the divine teacher who guided the apostles and prophets into all truth as they wrote the Bible. And this is actually from our section on bibliology. Every Christian can find the meaning of Scripture by diligently applying the literal, grammatical, historical method of interpretation. And here's the important phrase there: under the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's our divine teacher, and the Holy Spirit is also the one that enlightens Scripture. And that's a very important thing to think about as we move through this lesson. If you are not born again, this is why Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, why did he say that? He said that because unless you're born again, you cannot come under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the Scriptures will not be illuminated to you, right? So you can see the glory of God in Scripture. And so the purpose of the study will be to affirm these truths. But we're also going to push a little bit further and ask another important question, which is what happens when our lives come into contact with Scripture while also being a people who are indwelt and filled with the Holy Spirit? What happens? What happens to us as we saturate our lives in Scripture? It's not an easy question to answer. You know, what is it that's exactly happening when we wake up in the morning, right? And we get our Bibles out, and we read, and we pray, and we reflect, and we meditate on Scripture. What exactly is happening that the Holy Spirit uses that time to transform us, but not only transform us, but use that to shape our worldview? Yeah, it's a really fascinating and really mysterious question. Notice the quote there in your notes from Sinclair Ferguson. He says, as to how this divine outbreathing and spirit-bearing influence of the production of Scripture, little is said or claimed. And then he goes on to say, the mode of operation of the divine spirit on the human spirit remains as mysterious as his activity in creation and recreation. And I say amen to that. It is mysterious. Right, it's hard to really put a finger on what is going on as the Holy Spirit moves upon our lives through the ministry of Scripture, right? But as we'll see in our lesson, the effect is undeniable. We do know that the Holy Spirit is doing something, right? And so the rest of this lesson is going to attempt to unpack that. Now, I think we got about 18 minutes, so we're really going to fly fast through this stuff. The rest of this lesson, we're going to look at what I have called the Spirit's fourfold ministry through Scripture, or you can just simply call it the four R's. And you'll see that the first R there is rhema. And the idea behind rhema is that the Spirit inspires a living word. The Spirit inspires a living word. And just keep this in your mind. We're just trying to understand, why is it? Why is it that as we read Scripture and meditate on Scripture and allow it to saturate our lives, why is it that as we do that, it actually changes us, and changes us in such a way that we go out into the world, right, and have a preserving influence in the world? We begin to see the world with different eyes. Okay, that's the question we're answering. So the first thing that will speak to that is this idea of the Spirit inspiring a living or rhema word. The Scriptures are much more than just words or just stories or just a collection of writings to be analyzed historically. I remember when I was taking classes at junior college, one of the options I had, one of the classes that I could have taken was the Bible as history, right? And or I could just take some other kind of history class or sociology class, can't remember. But I chose to take the other class because I knew that the Bible wasn't just history. I didn't want to go to a class that treated the Bible as just history or just writings. I didn't want to sit there and watch the Bible be analyzed just from a research level or an academic level, because the Word of God is much more than that. The Scripture is a living word. It's a living document that's breathed out by the Holy Spirit. Some of you might be aware of my personal liking for AI and things like ChatGPT, which, you know, in my opinion, are pretty amazing. And I think I've talked to a few of you about this. If you have a subscription, it's even to the point where AI can learn your personality, and you can ask it questions, and it will give you responses based on what you have previously asked. It continues to learn your personality and predict the kind of response that you prefer. But its knowledge is not based on a true conscious person knowing you. Instead, it's based on an algorithm, data collection, calculation, and so it's really just calculating something and spitting back to you words. It's not spitting back to you an actual living and breathing word. It's just a computer. ChatGPT can never replace real people, and certainly can't replace the Holy Spirit, because it can't produce a truly living utterance. So are you guys seeing it now, this idea behind the Bible being a living or rhema word? Only the Holy Spirit applying the Scriptures to our hearts has the ability to cut people to the heart and transform them by the truth of the gospel. So this is the idea behind the Greek word rhema, R-H-E-M-A. It's the idea of words that are alive and have the ability to move upon the human soul in a personal, a very personal and living way. Looking back to our notes, it says the first way we can, at least at some level, begin to understand the Holy Spirit and His relationship to Scripture is that He has spoken with divine rhema or living utterance. That's what makes Scripture, Scripture. Whatever has happened in the mystery of inspiration and preservation of Scripture has guaranteed that the Bible we have on our laps or on our phone truly carries with it the authority and voice of God. When a person is born again and made alive by the Spirit, they immediately can testify to the divine authority that radiates from Scripture, not as some impersonal energy or force, but as a living word that has the power to transform the soul. Notice there that quote from John Calvin. He insists that this divine authority seen in Scripture is recognized as if God had been heard giving utterance to them. The certainty of this testimony of the Spirit is sealed on the hearts of the believers. Right? And what is he touching on? He's touching on this idea, and I'll try to come back to it again and again, that when you have been made alive by the Spirit of God and you read Scripture, Scripture itself begins to testify that it's a living word that's been breathed out by the Holy Spirit. It becomes a living document. You hear people's testimony, and I've heard it many times, where they'll say, before I was a Christian, I read the Bible, and it was just, it didn't make any sense to me, or it seemed like maybe some ancient history, or it just didn't do anything for me. And then they got saved, and then what happened, right? They began reading the Bible and things were just flying off the page. They were reading Genesis to Revelation, and things were starting to connect, and they were seeing the beauty of Christ in redemption, and they were seeing all these things. Now, why is that happening? That's the testimony of the Spirit. To what? To the fact that Scripture is a living document, a living utterance, a rhema. Few key texts related to this. I'll take some volunteers here to read through these. I think there's four of them. Who wants to read Matthew 4:4? Try to read as loud as you can, too.
But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The living utterance of God sustains life more than physical."
Right. And I included the Greek word there so you guys could see it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every rhema. It's a data form of it, but it is every rhema word that comes from the mouth of God. John 3:34.
Agreed. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure.
Right, you see it there. So God's he who God sent, Jesus himself, utters the rhema of God. So Christ's rhema is directly tied to the Spirit's fullness. John 6:63 and 68.
The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal.
Amen. In Ephesians 6:17, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. That's one of the clearest statements in Scripture of the idea we're talking about. So you can see just, and there's many more verses that contain this idea, but just in those four verses, you see this idea that whether it's God the Father, whether it's Jesus, or whether it's the Spirit, when they speak to mankind, it is a living word. It's a rhema word. So the first way we understand the Spirit's ministry through Scripture is to understand that Scripture is a living word breathed out by God's Spirit, and it has the power to impart life. And so as we move on here, we're going to answer the question, how? How does it impart life? That moves us to the second R we have here, which is radiance. The Spirit illuminates the glory of God revealed in Scripture. Just as light revealed the first creation, Scripture radiates the glory of God in Scripture, or Scripture radiates the typo there. Sorry about that. it should be the Holy Spirit radiates the glory of God in Scripture. In other words, it beams forth divine truth like sunlight through stained glass, displaying the beauty of Christ and causing us to see God's glory as He has chosen to reveal Himself. When we see God for who He is, we rejoice in it and grow in our love for Him. And so this idea shows us what? It shows us the absolute necessity of saturating ourselves in Scripture and reading Scripture again and again, because when we do, we're not just having some type of spiritual experience, and we're not just having our devotional time in some kind of esoteric way where we've had our devotional time and now in some impersonal way, we're benefited by that, right? We saturate ourselves in Scripture because when we do that, we are actually communing with the Spirit. And as we commune with the Spirit while reading Scripture, what does He do, right? There's a radiance, there's an illumination that happens. We talked about it. I'm sure you guys have noticed this. As you read Scripture, the Spirit of God actually causes us to think great thoughts of God. He causes great thoughts, great theological themes, things that shape our worldview to enter our mind. And seeing that, seeing the glory of God come from the pages of Scripture causes us to what? Causes us to fear God, causes us to worship God, causes us to love the Lord more, causes us to rejoice in Him and His ways. Why? Because as we said in the first point, it's a living word. It's a living word, and it contains the weight and the glory of God. Continuing in the notes there, without the Spirit's illumination, this light is hidden. But when He opens our eyes, we see the radiance of God's character, His wisdom, His mercy, His holiness, and we are drawn into worship. This means the Bible is not a dull manuscript, it's a radiant mirror reflecting divine beauty. Thus, radiance reminds us that the Word of God reveals God's glory, and the Spirit gives us eyes to behold it as a living Word that shines brightly. Some key texts here, Psalm 19, 7 through 8, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, and here's a word that really ties to our theme, enlightening the eyes. So the written word is radiant, life-giving, joy-producing, and eye-opening. Psalm 119, 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. So revelation, the revelation of God radiates light into the inner person. Proverbs 6, 23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. 2 Corinthians 4, 6, for God said, let light shine out of darkness. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the same creative word that brought light to the cosmos now shines into our soul through the Scriptures and through Christ. The third R. So we have the Rhema, or the Rhema word, the living utterance. We've seen the radiance of God as the glory of God is illuminated in Scripture, and now we move on to renewal. The Holy Spirit sanctifies the soul through the Word. If the Rhema gives life and the radiance gives light, renewal recreates. The Spirit through the Word works through the Word to restore us into Christ-likeness. Through the Word, our soul is renovated. As Jesus said in John 17, sanctify them in your truth. Your Word is truth. And I was thinking through this, I realized that, you know, the Reformers, if you go back and read a lot of the writings of the Reformers and the Puritans, they cherished this truth. They knew that, and this is in your notes, Scripture is not merely to be studied and obeyed, but rejoiced in. And in their view, preaching was not merely the transmission of doctrine, but the means by which the Spirit brings the Word to life in the believer's heart. This conviction shaped what became known as experiential preaching, the kind that presses the Word beyond the intellect into the affections, producing repentance, faith, and renewal. Thus, the Spirit reveals Christ to the mind and gives renewal to the heart, uniting illumination and transformation into a single gracious act. The Holy Spirit uses His own living Word as a tool of transformation. Through it, the human soul is restored to spiritual beauty, just as in Mark 5, where the demoniac, once tormented and chaotic, was found sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, Mark 5, 15. So the Holy Spirit, working through Scripture, cleanses us and brings our hearts and minds into a worshipful balance. The same Spirit who once ordered the chaos of creation now takes the chaos of the human heart and subdues it into divine joy through the truth of Scripture. Put simply, the Holy Spirit renews both heart and mind through the Word of truth, and as He does, new dynamics begin to arise within us, the signs of a new person, new creation, and shaped in the image of Christ. So I'll stop there. I'm kind of flying through this to make sure we get through our lesson today, but any questions on those first three ideas before we jump into the final R this morning? As we pick up on that last sentence of the previous section, right? The Spirit, through the Scripture, through the ministry of Scripture, changes us, right? And we begin to look different. We begin to display different characteristics. And this is exactly why we see all those attributes listed in Galatians, right? Those attributes in Galatians are not called what? They're not called the fruit of morality. They're not called the fruit of self-discovery or self-renewal. They're called what? The fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit leading to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. And we see in our lesson here, right, that we will not grow. We will not display the fruits of the Spirit apart from what? Apart from meditating on the Scriptures. There has to be that intersection of the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives and meditation on Scripture for us to produce the fruits of the Spirit. I'll jump over these verses. These verses can be for meditation at home. We have Psalm 51, Titus 3, Romans 12, 2 Corinthians 4. And we'll move to our final point, which is reflection. Reflection. The Holy Spirit shines out as He bears fruit in our lives. The final R is reflection. This is not the type of reflection where we're going over something in our mind, but rather we are reflecting as in a mirror the image of Christ to a lost and dying world. The final R is reflection. The Spirit's work doesn't end with personal sanctification. It spills outward into our witness and work for the kingdom. We talked a little bit about that this morning in our prayer time as Pastor David encouraged us to evangelize. So it begins to spill outward into witness and work for the kingdom. As we behold God's glory, we become mirrors of that glory. To reflect means to both mirror and magnify. The Spirit renews us so that our lives shine with the beauty of Christ in our speech, compassion, holiness, and mission. We become living epistles, walking testimonies of God's word in action. Thus, reflection reminds us that it's not just received. Revelation is not just received, it's radiated. So God's word in us becomes God's glory through us. And so as our lives are saturated by God's truth, and the Holy Spirit helps us to walk in that truth. And when we do, people begin to notice, right? People begin to see that our lives are different. Our lives have been transformed by the Lord. As the Apostle Paul writes, we are being transformed so that we might mirror the very glory that we behold. The sanctified life is not a closed circle, but a reflecting surface. Grace received becomes grace displayed. John Owen describes this reflective transformation as the outflow of communion with Christ. The quote there, and I really appreciate this quote, he says, communion with Christ consists in communication of Himself unto us, with our return unto Him of that which He requires and accepts, flowing from the union which in Jesus Christ we have with Him. The more we behold His glory by faith, the more we are changed into the same image, and the more we reflect that image to the world, right? And of course, as we've seen in our lesson this morning, we behold His glory by faith through what? Through the Scriptures. Through the Scriptures. And so to recap, we do have some more key texts there which you guys can read. But to recap where we've been, putting it all together, the flow of the four R's. We have the living utterance, the Rhema word, that makes Scripture a living document. And here, through the Scriptures, as a living document, we hear the voice of God that leads to radiance. The Spirit illuminates Scripture and we see the glory of God. Renewal, the Spirit sanctifies us through the Scripture and we are shaped into Christ-likeness. And finally, reflection, the Spirit radiates Scripture through us and we shine His glory into the world. There's a few discussion and application questions. You guys can read those at home. And we'll stop there. I think we do have a few minutes, but we really went fast through all that. But is there any thoughts, questions, reflections on our study this morning?
Well, number two, radiance, the Spirit illuminates Scripture to see the glory of God. And so tying now, I mean, that even ties back to Exodus 34, where when God displayed His glory, it wasn't so much the visual glory that we're seeing, God declaring, I am a God of mercy and justice. Mm-hmm. So I think that, I mean, it just popped in my mind with great emphasis that if we want to see the greatest glory of God, we will see that reflected through the Holy Spirit illuminating and expanding our knowledge of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And so the more we have the Scripture illuminated by the Spirit, the more we won't be fixed on giving God the glory, and the more we will be captured by the glory of God, because mm-hmm. the Spirit will be illuminating.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that in such a big way that way.
Yeah. Yeah, and that really speaks to the importance of the sufficiency of Scripture. The sufficiency of Scripture. Because what's happening when people want some other kind of revelatory manifestation of God? What is happening there? they want to see some, they want to have an experience or a vision or something else besides scripture to what? To observe, to glory in, to receive, and have that thing be the thing that transforms them rather than what's written in the pages of scripture. But as we talked about at the beginning of the lesson and in bibliology, God in his providence has chosen to capture the glory of his revelation in a book. And so we go to scripture, and that is where we see divine truth. So appreciate that. Any other questions? Neely, anything? No.
I would say I appreciate just the concentration on the fact that the scripture is living because it's authored by a living spirit, true God obviously, as I think about like just other documents that you put a lot of weight on, say like the Constitution. Something that says a living document can be interpreted as such. No, it's fixed for only that point in time, and hence we argue over interpretation. In a certain aspect, we do that even in the Christian world. Certainly, non-Christians try to do that in the scriptures. But just thankful for that. When you look at it in the way that we're looking at it today, and talk about the source of this truth, and the source of the Holy Spirit, and the truth that it doesn't change. You know, the fact that like you can do the work to figure out the mind, and we can't agree in that, in quote unquote Christendom, we can't agree. It's a bunch of fallen people, so it doesn't mean we will. But God is not a God that has given us chaos or given us an impossible task. You know, there is a way to understand it. And so I was just grateful for that this morning.
You know, it just gives great hope to know that, because we all experience kind of the sense of, getting back to your thought on the it being a living word, we all experience this really the sense of desperation at the plight of humanity. I mean, I look at my own life, I'm like, man, I need a lot of help. You know, I need to be renewed. Like my soul needs to be completely renovated. I feel like the more and more I walk with the Lord, the more and more I see it. It's like, well, how does that happen? Well, it's only through the truth of Scripture, as we behold the glory of God, that Kierkegaard, Soren, yeah.
Like, how do you have hope if you have nothing that's living? Right. Of course you'd be in despair. Of course your life could just whisper away. You know,
right.
Like, you've got no hope because you've got nothing to cling on to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. 70 years, 80 years, 100 years, 50 years, whatever you have on this earth is short.
Yeah, that's why I love that quote, because he's basically talking about, you know, some people do have the bottom drop out of their lives, you know, and things come crashing down, but his idea is that it's just a slow fade, you know. And what's interesting is as we saturate ourselves in scripture, it's not a quick trajectory either. I think Sinclair Ferguson calls it the slow burn. It's the same thing. You're just continue to saturate yourself in scripture, but it's a slow, steady pilgrimage, right? To the kingdom. But it's an upward trajectory where the Lord continues to renew our soul over and over again. So okay, anything else before I close this in prayer? Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this study. Help us to spend extra time this week meditating on the truth of Scripture, praying Scripture back to you, the one who has authored it. Let our minds and our hearts be filled with great thoughts of you. We pray now as we move into our worship service, that you would give a special administration of grace and strength to our worship team, to Pastor David as he preaches, and to all the servants who are serving. And we're just thankful for your word. And we're thankful for our salvation. And we pray this in your name. Amen.